Kia ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Charlie Drever. The government is taking on the regulatory quagmire that is the Resource Management Act, giving the rules for land use and development the biggest shake-up in decades. At more than 800 pages, the RMA is one of the most complex pieces of law in this country. But now the Environment Minister, David Parker, is promising to scrap it and introduce three laws in its place. At the announcement on Wednesday, Mr. Parker described the changes as a once-in-a-generation opportunity.
We're aiming to both protect the environment whilst better enabling development within environmental limits. We believe we've got a strong mandate to do this. I think there is now a consensus that the RMA is not working as it was intended. It takes too long, it costs too much, and it hasn't properly protected the environment and climate change and water quality. Two obvious examples of that in the environmental space. As well as that, whilst it's not the only factor, it has held back urban development, and that's one of the reasons why house prices have gone so high.
The first of the proposed laws will be the Natural and Built Environments Act, or NBA, which will be the main law to replace the RMA.
This will be the core piece of legislation that will provide for land use and environmental regulation. It'll better protect and, where necessary, restore the natural environment. It will enable more development within natural environmental limits, and this will improve future outcomes for towns and cities, including in relation to housing supply and affordability.
David Parker says the NBA will achieve that by focusing more on physical outcomes rather than dwelling on subjective things like matters of taste, which Parker says tend to favour the status quo. But the chair of the Mission Bay Kohimarama Residents Association, Don Stock, told Morning Report's Corinne Dan he's worried it could mean a free-for-all for developers.
Unfortunately, the minister made the comment yesterday that the legislation would move from considering amenity values to natural values. That doesn't sound like much, but it's potentially very concerning because amenity values is just a technical term for quality of life. It includes values such as sunlight, noise, privacy and so forth. But the minister seems to be saying that these values that affect people's quality of life will no longer be considered when you're deciding what is allowed to be built and what isn't.
Is what we're talking about here, this debate that comes up about some suburbs, wealthier suburbs that have character homes who don't want more intensive development, they don't want more housing in their neighbourhood? Is that what we're really getting at here?
No, I don't think so. No, I think everyone understands that Auckland in particular is a fast-growing city and we've accepted the need to intensify. We just don't accept the need to destroy the things that make our suburbs good in order to accommodate that. There is no reason why we can't have strong growth and intensification and still retain the character values that have made the suburbs of Auckland so attractive.
The minister says people should be able to fairly express their interests, but at times this has become too litigious, and he is not committing to having an avenue to appeal.
Not every decision that's taken under the Resource Management Act will necessarily end up with appeal rights. Those final decisions haven't been taken, but I'm not willing to give that undertaking yet. I am of the view that we have to have very thorough plan-making processes, but I'm not sure that we should be taking forward every single procedure under the RMA.
He said formal appeals could be replaced by alternative ways to resolve disputes. A special select committee inquiry will consider a draft version of the NBA from mid-year. The second piece of legislation is the Strategic Planning Act that will sit on top of the NBA. It will integrate functions which currently fall under the RMA, the Local Government Act, the Land Transport Management Act and the Climate Change Response Act.
Each region, and this will involve both local authorities and central government and iwi authorities, they'll be involved in developing long-term regional spatial strategies. They'll set long-term goals. They'll facilitate strategic decision-making across the resource management system. This will include planning for urban growth, responding to the effects of climate change, identifying important environmental areas that ought to be protected from development and identification of places of significance to Māori.
The new system will also streamline the existing 100-plus RMA council planning documents down to about 14. The third proposed law is the Climate Adaptation Act, which tackles the thorny problem of rising sea levels and storms endangering hundreds of thousands of homes. The chief executive of the Property Council, Leonie Freeman, told political reporter Yvette McCullough it's a good step, but the devil will be in the detail on how it will all work.
We're now proposing three acts, so the critical thing will be how will those three acts work together. But what we all need to keep focused on as New Zealanders is that we need to make sure that the end result is what we want, which is to build thriving, strong communities and cities in New Zealand while making sure we look after our environment. And that's what we've got to keep the focus on.
And, I mean, what might be some things that you think might trip up that master planning working as intended?
Well, sometimes with this sort of thing, it will be how the act is written. So there is always danger when you're changing something that creates a whole lot of uncertainty. So it's got to be really clear about how it will work. And this is what I think is important in the legislative drafting process, is that it's not only drafted, but there's a lot of work done to think through about how it will actually work in practice. Because what we can't afford, particularly in the housing area, is for things to slow down.
The original RMA took nearly 5 years to prepare. This time round, it's expected to take at least 3 years to get the reforms over the line. And the Environment Minister warns any boost in housing supply as a result of the changes are still a way off.
That won't happen until, for 3 or 4 years. That's why these intermediate steps were taken by us first. When we took over government, the ministry that I was responsible for actually wanted to charge into the RMA reform. But I knew that that wouldn't deliver results fast enough and that we had to get on with the little fixes that we've already done, like the NPS on urban development, like standing up the Housing and Urban Development Authority.
National's housing spokesperson Nicola Willis told Morning Report more needs to be done in the meantime to dampen the flames of the overheated property market.
Our concern is, even by the minister's own admission, this process is going to take at least 3 to 4 years. And right now, New Zealand is facing an urgent housing shortage. We want to see some interim measures taken because we don't think New Zealand can afford to wait another 3 to 4 years to make it easier to build houses in this country. And we're proposing that National and Labor work together right now to put in some emergency measures that would make it easier to release land for development to get houses built while long-term RMA reform is happening.
David Parker argues the RMA changes will help the housing crisis, but it has often copped unfair criticism for being the cause. The changes will happen in slow tranches, with both the MBA and SBA being introduced into Parliament at the end of the year, and the MBA being passed by the end of 2022. But the minister says there's a good reason for that.
This is a very big thing to give birth to, and it would be like triplets to deliver it all at once, and one at a time. There's a lot of issues that need to be worked through. For example, what's the proper articulation of the treaty clause? What's the way in which we're going to draft the intergenerational environmental test? Those are big issues. If you put them together with some of the administrative issues that have to be covered in the Act, I think the system would get a bit swamped.
You said your work has been blamed for too much, and is there too much expectation riding on the reform of this piece of legislation?
I think it is true that the RMA has been unfairly blamed for some of the problems because, the RMA is not responsible for underinvestment in infrastructure. It might be responsible for the delay in decisions as to where infrastructure is spending, but the RMA can't fix infrastructure funding. So that's an example of where some people conflate it. I think also some people blame the RMA for complexities that they're encountering under the Building Act.
National and Labor campaigned hard on the RMA overhaul during last year's election. National is willing to work with the government on the legislation, despite the fact there seems to be no love lost between David Parker and National's leader Judith Collins.
We'd like to be part of the solution. As I'm sure you know, I wrote to David Parker almost 2 years ago and said, look, we're willing to work with you, and he sent back what is effectively a one-fingered salute. So we've now seen this draft of the bill, and our team will still be willing to work.
Other parties which have campaigned on change are also not particularly happy with Labor's plan. David Parker's triplets are being described as a three-headed hydra by ACT leader David Seymour. He told Deputy Political Editor Craig McCulloch the government should be focusing on who can object to developments.
ACT's view is, if a person is not directly affecting other people's property in ways that are physically measurable, we're talking about direct effects on water and soil and air pollution, direct effects on shading and noise, direct effects on biodiversity, if those should be the only things you can object to a development on. At the moment, we have far too many grounds for objection, many of which are metaphysical, and that means that people end up tied up for far too long, and the next generation just doesn't have the homes.
You're going to run up against a huge outcry then, though, aren't you, from both iwi and environmental groups who would say or argue that what they're fighting for is protecting important issues?
Well, what the ACT Party would say to iwi and environmental groups if they did make that objection is two things. Māori home ownership rates at 31% are less than half the New Zealand average at 65%. Surely the most important thing for Māori is to actually make it easier to build a home so that there can be an opportunity to have a secure future for the individual person. So far as environmental groups, ACT's proposal is actually to more tightly focus on measurable environmental effects, air, water and soil quality, biodiversity. If there's a direct effect, then that should be measured. And the problem is, at the moment, far too many people on far too many grounds can object, even if their own property is not affected by a development.
The changes come off the back of a review mid-last year, commissioned by the Environment Minister and led by retired Court of Appeal Judge Tony Randerson, QC. As well as scrapping the RMA and a raft of other changes, the panel recommended strengthening the Te Tariti clause to make sure iwi have more power in environmental law. The review found the current Te Tariti clause, which requires the principles of the treaty to be taken into account, is weak and needs to be strengthened. David Parker says the details are still being worked through. A collective of five Māori groups will talk to the government about the changes it wants to see, and a spokesperson, Ruku Moana Schaffhausen, is confident their views will be heard.
There is no reason to suggest at this stage, at this early stage, that they won't honour that commitment. And we will do our bit once we understand the detail to ensure that we are having robust discussions to ensure that our take are taken on board. So certainly for now, there is a commitment also for the officials to work alongside our technical team. So that's a good start. But again, we need to keep the government to account. This will be a critical piece of work because we have to take our people with us. We have to take our tupuna, our kaumātua, our whānau. This is a kaupapa that is so important to our people that we need to take their voices. So at this stage, all the right things have been said in terms of commitment, so we just need to ensure that is maintained throughout this process.
However, Māori Party co-leader Debbie Ngāriwa Packer isn't convinced the new legislation will have a strong commitment to Te Tariti o Waitangi.
There's still a lot in the detail, and there's still a lot that I've been talking to some of the iwi leaders that we need to understand. So I guess to be fair, we're not overly confident that it's going to land, but we are glad to see that changes are happening. Our ultimate aim is to make sure that some of these changes aren't expedited at the cost of our mana whenua, of our mana moana kaupapa. So that's what we're still waiting to find out about.
The government maintains that bolstering of environmental protections will be at the core of any revamp. The Executive Director of Greenpeace is Russell Norman. He told Yvette McCullough he's cautiously optimistic, as long as bottom lines can't be watered down.
The basic problem with the RMA was that it said you could trade off a bit of environmental destruction for a bit of economic development, and that produced a death spiral of environmental destruction, which is the reason why our groundwater is contaminated from one end of the country to the other. So there's the danger is that if that approach gets rolled into the new legislation, we actually need bottom lines that say you can't contaminate the water anymore for any individual project. There has to be bottom lines.
And, I mean, what sort of numbers would you like to see?
Well, they need to be numbers around protecting water quality, for instance. They need to be numbers around protecting biodiversity and that we can't destroy more biodiversity when you think of the destruction of wetlands that's already happened. So we need to see those written into the legislation because, you know, if you take the big picture of it all, we've been destroying biodiversity on a massive scale. And it doesn't seem like much when it's each individual project, but you put it all together and you get the biodiversity crisis that we're in.
The RMA has a long history of causing headaches for governments over the years, but Labor's massive majority should make the path less rocky. However, given the complexities, it's going to be far from easy to rebuild the resource management laws from the ground up. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Charlie Drever. Thanks for joining us. Mā te wā.